Inconsistent parenting is very hard on children. We have to think that children learn by watching us and through repetition. So if we are inconsistent with our parenting, there is no repetition, there is no consistency, there is no pattern for them to follow. So they don't know what to expect. And that creates a lot of issues in terms of security, safety, and trust. So it's pretty serious. And this is what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to walk you over what the impact of inconsistent parenting is, how to switch that over to cons how to be consistent in our parenting, what that looks like, how to handle certain behaviors. Most importantly, I will end this episode with how to handle a situation where you need to deal with an inconsistent co-parent, because that's also another reality that we have. So we've got a lot to talk about today. For those who don't know me, my name is Danielle C. Baker. I am the founder and CBO of Being Connected, and I'm also a registered early childhood educator with over 20 years' experience in the field. I work with parents and teachers to help them navigate the realities of what parenting is today. But don't get it twisted. When you work with me, we're putting the child's needs first. So we have to put their ego and pride aside, and let's get to it. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, this is season three, so I do invite you to have a look at the two previous seasons to see if there's anything there that may resonate with you with what you're going through right now. And today we are going to dive right into inconsistent parenting. That is quite an issue, actually. And I'm going to jump right in. We have to think of parenting as leadership, because that's really what it is. So if you think about, if you've ever had a job, or if you're going through it right now, where you have a supervisor or a boss who is not consistent with how they run the team or how they run the business, how do you feel about that? How does that create, what kind of environment does that create for you? And most importantly, what do you think of that leader, supervisor, boss, right? This is essentially what children feel when we're not being consistent as parents. So for those who are not quite sure what inconsistency could look like, it could be that one day when your child has a behavior, but you're in a good mood, you let it slide, but then the next day you blow up at them because you had a hard day. Or if you tell them that there's going to be a consequence for a certain behavior that you don't tolerate, but when that they have that behavior, you don't follow up with the actual consequence. So there's a lot of flip-flopping on it. And so that's basically what that would look like. And that is very hard for children. Like I mentioned in the introduction, we're talking about the children who learn through watching us. So the way that we behave around them is how they're going to behave later on. So if we want to set them up for success, we have to make sure that we're pretty solid on our decisions. If we are not consistent with our parenting and they're watching us navigate our parenting style, what happens is they will not know how to set boundaries because we never showed them how. We talk a lot about how we're not taught about setting boundaries, what that looks like in healthy relationships, but we're actually are the ones who are not teaching them through our behaviors. So if we are consistent and we hold a pattern, we are, we're really predictable as to what's going to happen if you don't behave a certain way, or this is how our routine is going to be. If we're flip-flopping from that, then our children are not really going to get a good role model for setting boundaries and how to interact with other people later on in life. So very important to step in and start to get consistent. It's not easy because depending on what we're going through, we may not have the energy or feel like we don't have the energy to hold our end of the bargain. But again, we have to think of it as leaders. So how good of a leader are you if you're not able to focus on the one thing that really does matter, and that is your child and your child's well-being. It is important to put our priorities there. So when there is inconsistency, Actually, I'll start with the consistency first. We'll start with the positive. What will that do for your child? And then the reverse, the impact the inconsistency has, and then we'll jump into the co-parenting stuff. So consistency shows up everywhere. It's not just with disciplining your child, but it shows up with your daily routines. Of course, the discipline patterns, but also your schedule and how you're going to connect emotionally with your child. So it your whole being consistent with the way you interact with your child, what you find funny, how you show up for them. If you show up one day and you're all in and you're playing and you're having fun, but then the next minute you're on your phone and you're ignoring them, that is inconsistent. So how you show up, how do you support your child emotionally, and your routine. If you say things, we're doing this, but then you start moving it around because you don't feel like it, that's going to kind of pull the rug from under your child. So it's very important to hold on to that consistency and not just think about it in terms of disciplining our children. It goes beyond that. It gives our children the understanding of boundaries. So we know that if I'm going to do this, this is going to happen. Or I know that if mommy or daddy says in 10 minutes we're doing this, we know that it's going to happen in 10 minutes and not in an hour or 2 hours later. So we have to kind of play with that. But it also holds them accountable because children are not necessarily, just because we have boundaries, just because we are consistent with our parenting, it doesn't mean that they're not going to have bad behaviors or make bad choices. And it doesn't mean that they're not going to try to test their limits because that part of the development is healthy for them. But it does hold them accountable for when they do act up or when they don't follow the rules or when they don't do what's expected of them. So it holds them accountable. It helps them understand what boundaries are. It's like, this is a hard no. It's non-negotiable, and it will never be non-negotiable. Of course, you have to make it age appropriate, right? We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But all of this is how you get your child to feel safe. It gives them a sense of security around you. Gives them a sense of trust. They know that you are a reliable adult. And this is the key point here, is when you're flip-flopping with what you say and what you do, your child is going to learn that you cannot be trusted. And that crushes them because adults are supposed to be perfect. So now that the reality that they have in their head doesn't exist anymore and they don't know how to process that, it creates a lot of issues later on. We'll talk about it in a bit. So again, the kids are watching us, and this is how they learn, and they learn through repetition. So if we're constantly saying, when you do this, this will happen, or when it's time to get ready for school, this is what I'm expecting, or when it's bedtime, this is what is expected of you. Again, it has to be age appropriate. They will know after a few repetitions that if they don't follow the rules, there will be some consequences there. They know what to expect from you, and they know what you expect from them. So it also builds their confidence, their self-esteem. And again, that trust is so important between parent and child if you want that strong connection with your children. Now, it's very important to note here that consistency doesn't mean that you are inflexible. We also have to teach our children that sometimes life happens and things don't go as we have planned. So yes, it's important to try to keep a predictable routine for your children. But if there's something that's out of your control that happens and you have to change up the routine a little bit, that's also okay. And it's important here to talk to your child and explain why we're doing things different today. And then just try, the most important part is to try to get back to that regular routine when you can. So I can give you an example of, let's say you have a really solid morning routine to get the kids ready for school and it's finally working, but then you get sick and for a week or so you can't get up with them and somebody else has to take care of it, that will kind of throw your children off in their routine. And sometimes you can get a little bit of pushback from that. But it's just important to say this is just temporary. This person is coming to help us, depending on whether it's a neighbor or a friend's parents or your partner. Just to say this is temporary, and when I'm feeling better, we'll get back on it. What do you want to do on the first day that I get back? You kind of work him through. When they're older, they seem to not care as much, but they still don't quite understand why the routine would be different. So, why would I have to take the bus when you're always driving me to practice, that kind of thing. So you could still kind of explain it to them so that they feel part, they'll feel like they have some kind of control into something that's really out of our control. So just again, consistency does not mean that you're not flexible, doesn't make you rigid. It's just that we go with what life throws at us, but we'll get back into our routine once we can. And it still, again, helps children kind of cope with life once they get older as well. So if we're going to flip it to inconsistency, when you're an inconsistent parent, and this is where it stings a little bit, because we all have our moments where we just don't want to anymore, right? That's okay. But if you're constantly flipping and flopping, this is where it becomes difficult. You're not showing any signs of leadership there, but inconsistency teaches our kids that adults are not reliable. And this is where you get a lot of childhood trauma because the adults are the ones that are supposed to provide that safe, secure environment. And this is the first part of the development. If you want your child to thrive, they need to feel safe and secure first, before they can do anything else. So that's what inconsistency does. It just kind of teaches them that adults are not reliable, they can't be trusted. And this will eventually kind of build up and lead into anger issues. They will start being kind of defy you because I can't trust you. You don't hold up to your end anyway, so why would I listen to you or why would I go along with you? A lot of frustrations. They get very agitated, very nervous. It leads to anxiety later on because they don't have an understanding of how to stand strong and solid when life just keeps throwing things at you. So for any little inconvenience or any little change, they'll start feeling that anxiety, that frustration, that anger, or whatever how it shows up on your child, because they're just like, okay, what now? That's kind of, they're on the defensive, they're in survival mode at this point. So it's important to kind of, if you find yourself to be a little bit more consistent, or if you're working with another parent who seems to be a little bit inconsistent, or even babysitters, caregivers, grandparents, that's often an issue that we have. It's just to make sure you keep that communication that this is what is expected, and I expect you to hold your hand. And I may create some friction with the other adults, but that's too bad. It's your child. So stand strong, and your child will see you stand up for them. And we'll build that trust even more. So very important when you're looking at, and especially to be consistent, look into your morning routine, your bedtime routine, and then of course, like meal times or anything that has a transition, getting ready to leave the house for something and then coming back. Try to find that consistency there so that the child knows exactly what is expected of them. And don't just assume that they know what they're supposed to do. A lot of the times we're just like, get ready. But what does get ready mean? We have to take that time to show them, okay, getting ready means you make sure you have everything in your book bag, in your backpack. You make sure you have your shoes on. You make sure you brush your teeth. You put that order in and you have to teach them again. It's going to be repetition. And every time you don't hold your end, every time you change it up, every time you're inconsistent, you're going right back to zero, right? They don't start at to where you left off. Every time you deviate from the routine, everything that you've worked up to then was absolutely useless. We're going right back to square one. So you're going to have to start again. It's okay. When you wake up, wash your face, brush your teeth, go eat, depending on what your routine is. And also the other mistake that a lot of parents, when I work with parents on getting control over routines and less meltdowns and less tantrums, is to expect that the same routine works for all the children in the house. If you have younger siblings, again, everything has to be age appropriate. So what you're expecting of your 9-year-old is not going to be the same as what you should be expecting of your 3-year-old. And your 3-year-old will get overwhelmed a lot faster because everything is going so fast and it takes them time to process every demand that you have for them. So keep that in mind, keep them shorter and easier for the little ones, and add as they get older and they get their routine done. It also, again, must be reasonable, right? And age appropriate. Your younger siblings are not going to be able to follow everybody at your pace, right? When you're managing their behaviors, this is where the consistency is also very important. Sometimes we like to give in just because we can't be bothered with the arguments again, or the tantrums, or the meltdowns. So we give in, and now we're not a leader anymore, right? The child is now the parent. So consistency will reduce the behaviors. They know exactly what's expected of them, and they know exactly what consequence they're going to get, and they know that you're not messing around. So they know that they can't push the limits. They'll still try, but they'll know that there's a consequence there. If you are an inconsistent parent and now you're trying to change that, when we're talking about consistency, we have to start from birth. I'm not saying that we have to discipline our babies when they're just out, but you need to stay consistent with your routines. You alternate, you change it, of course, with age, but it's not something that you start when they start school. It's the first 2 years of life that's going to determine how they're going to behave when they are expected to do something. So socially, there's some interactions there that you have to have with your child every day, so that they know that this is what you expect, or this is how the day is going to go, and this what will work for them. So it's not something that, oh, they're too young, they can't understand. There's certain things that they can't understand, but yeah, they do. That this is where you start. So from the minute that they were born, we start showing them what it's like to be consistent. And if you didn't do that for the first 2, 3 years, if you just let them roam free, thinking that they didn't understand it, that they're too young, or if you have a co-parent, another parent, or the partner, or grandparents who have their say and trying to go against everything you're trying to do, then your child is going to push back a lot, or you're not going to have control over your child before they start school. And if you're trying to change that, going from inconsistent to consistent, there is going to be some pushback. And this is why a lot of parents kind of give up when they try to get consistent, when they try to get their leadership role back as a parent, because it gets harder. The child doesn't understand. It's not the child's fault, right? So you have to understand, you never taught your child what it was like to be true to your word and to match your actions to your words. So it's not the child's fault if all of a sudden you decide to lay down the rules and they don't react to it, or they will, but in a negative way. They've never seen you as a leader before, so it's going to be hard for them to take you seriously. It's just like when I was mentioning earlier, if your boss is inconsistent, is not a really good leader, and all of a sudden they say, okay, now I'm laying down the law and we're going to do this and I'm going to help you and I'm going to support you, you're just going to look at them and say, who are you? So it's the same thing with your child. There's going to be some pushback there. They're going to test it. They won't understand. So I used to be able to get away with this, or you never held your word before. Why would I? They'll be confused. So you need to gently, you don't want to traumatize them even more, but just to say, no, this is it. This is a hard no. This is how it's going to be. This is the routine that we have to make everybody, to make things easier for everybody. So you have to hold on during those times where the behavior may actually get worse than better. But if it does get worse once you start getting firm on your parenting role, it's a sign that it's working. They're paying attention. They know that something's different, and they're testing you just to see if you're actually going to hold your end of the bargain now, or if you're going to cede like you've done before. So hold your grounds, and this is where the support helps. This is what I do with families when they call for help. Is I will support them and say, no, hold it. Just hold on, hold on, hold on. It'll get better, and it does get better. Everybody says it takes 21 days to change a pattern. It can take a lot more than that. It could take even up to 3 months for a child. So when you think you have it, and then you start slipping a little bit because, oh, well, it's summer holidays, or oh, we have guests, or we're going on holidays. This is when you do need to stay consistent, even if things are a little bit different. You need to hold your end there. So again, the minute you drop the ball, you have to start at ground zero again. So they will push back, and it's not their fault. It's on you. You're the one who didn't teach them this from early on. So the fact that they're pushing back, that's your consequence for not doing the work you were supposed to do in the beginning. So consequences need to be logical. Or if you're going to give them consequences, you said, okay, you need to do this. You need to do your chores, you need to do your homework, otherwise you're not going to get the tablet or whatever consequence you decide to have. It needs to be logical and time logical. It has to be within a certain time frame, if I can say so. And it has to be related to the behavior. So when I say time within the time is not to say, well, because you didn't pick up your shoes in the entrance, you're not getting ice cream this weekend. 5 days later, the child is not going to remember that. So it would have to be something related right away, and that is related to the behavior, right? So if we can't pick up our shoes, then clearly what you're showing me is you have too many shoes. So now tell me, which ones do you want to give away? They're going to start panicking to say, well, I don't want to give away my shoes. I'll say, well, yes, because if they are just left everywhere at the front door, that means that there's no space for them where they're supposed to be. So that means you have too many. We need to get rid of some. So just that something related to that. Okay. This is again time related. As soon as you can. If the child is in a tantrum or a meltdown, it's not time to start negotiating. You have to wait for the storm to pass. They're not going to understand anything you're talking to, what you're trying to teach them at that moment. So once it's calm, then we go back and we settle everything. This is why a lot of the times timeouts or bribing or threats are really not effective forms of disciplining. Just because for twos, when we're talking about consistency, because we'll put them in timeouts, we'll threaten them. We'll bribe them. If you do this, I'll do that. But we're not actually telling them why we put them in timeout. We're just upset, go timeout. We're not explaining why or where the threat came from, right? Or the bribe. And it's not, there's no follow-up to it. And there's no explanation of, okay, because you did this, this is what's happening. And we use them inconsistently. So one day we're just fed up, we're tired, we want a little bit of me time, so we put them in timeout. But on another day, they'll be doing the same thing and we're fine with it. So this is where the timeout and the threats and the bribes are not good methods of discipline because we are not consistent with them. If you use them consistently, let's say a timeout is great for when your child is having the tantrum or the meltdown, and say, okay, we can't work this out right now when you're this upset. So let's just sit and calm down. When you're calm, then we'll talk about it and we'll work at it. So that's an effective way to use timeout, but just to put them in timeout because you want them out of your space, that's not it. Just a little side note there. It's very important to explain why they were getting a consequence if they didn't follow what was expected of them in a gentle way, in a calm way. This is the most important thing. We need to remain calm. So if we're all riled up, we're the ones who need the timeout as well to calm down. It's very helpful for the child. If you are consistent with the way that you're going to hand out the consequences, the way you're going to discipline in your morning routine and your weekend routine, all of that, it creates predictable routines. So with practice, with repetition, your child is going to know, okay, now I brushed my teeth, I need to go down, have breakfast, or I have breakfast, I can go up, brush my teeth. After my teeth, I need to check, I don't know, is my book bag full? Do I have my lunch? Do I have, any, whatever situation you're in, it'll become predictable to them and they'll be able to do it on their own. And next thing you know, they are doing it on their own. So praise them there so that it builds up their confidence and their self-esteem as well. They're going to want to do more to help. Be clear on what is expected. Again, it has to be age appropriate to say, this is what is expected of you. This is how I expect you to behave, so that they can learn. And then again, you need that repetition. So that's why you need to be consistent. If ever you have modifications, like I mentioned earlier, sometimes they're unpredictable. It's okay, right? It happens. Life happens. We need to teach our kids to be able to handle that. So again, just explain to them, this is different today. We're a little bit more rushed, or this happened. But then as soon as you can, you just go back into your regular routine. It's a great learning experience for them to know that they can handle any kind of, things that were unexpected. And we're going to jump into the inconsistent co-parent. And it doesn't have to be in a separation or divorce setting. It could very well just be your spouse, your partner. But if you're co-parenting, or even with your own parents, the grandparents and the caregiver, that's all part of co-parenting. This is where the line of communication needs to stay open. You need to stand firm. You need to be consistent to be able to say, this is how we're going to handle things when A, B, C, and D happens. It's important to keep that line of communication. Now, you have no control over how other people will receive that or how they're going to handle it. And you're going to have to be okay with that. But you just have to sit down with your child and say, okay, I understand it's a little different with so and so. But you know that with me, this is what is expected and that doesn't change, right? So that they can now associate you as the safe adult and as the adult that they can trust. So keep at that. It's, you have to, for your own well-being, you have to accept the fact that you cannot force other people to be leaders when it comes to your child, but you can stay the leader that your child needs. So just reassure them to say, I know it's different. They may do it different when they try it out with you, when they test the limits with you, because they can get away with it with the other ones. Just say, no, we're with me, that doesn't work. And that's not going to change. So what can we do now to make sure that this doesn't happen again? So it's very important to, if you can, if it's amicable, to set those boundaries to say, okay, this is what I accept, this is what is not accepted. And because it's consistency and repetition that helps the child, can we come to, can we agree on the terms? If you cannot, if it's in a situation where it's not amicable or there's nothing you can do to change or to let the other adult see, then you need to prioritize the child's needs, right? Not yours. It's not an ego thing where I want to teach the other one a lesson. It's my child needs this, and so we're going to have to work at it. So set boundaries. You need to be consistent. Your boundaries need to be consistent. Your boundaries with the co-parent needs to be consistent now in terms of communication, how you handle the dynamic with them. You could even set when you will communicate with them or how you will communicate. Is it just text or emails so that there's something written? Do we need to go to the courts? So this can snowball very quickly. And again, just reassure your child that you're going to stay re consistent, regardless of what the other adults decide to do. And the last thing, of course, is if we're dealing with a co-parent where it's not their legal action is required, make sure you get the support for your, not just for yourself, but for your child as well. Your child is not necessarily going to speak up, but they're the ones who are getting the worst out of the deal. So the other parent may not see it, unfortunately, but this is where you need to be the grown adult and the leader in this inconsistent. Unfortunately, now the inconsistent parent is childlike. Do not call them out on it, though. Don't tell them they're a baby, but for your own well-being and for your mental health, sometimes expecting the other adult to behave like a leader is not going, it's just going to disappoint you, right? It's not feasible, unfortunately. So just accept the fact that you are the adult, you are the parent, and sometimes it can help you to just speak to the other co-parent like you would speak your child, trying to explain things without being condescending, right? You don't want to throw disrespect into the fire, but just for your own mental well-being, if you're the only one who's consistent and who cares about your child's well-being, just know that then you're the leader, and accept the fact that the other parent is not the leader when it comes to, or they have failed, they're failing in their parenting. So I'll leave you with today. It is really broad. I kind of repeated a lot of things, but again, we learn through repetition, so it's kind of intentional. Just remember that if you are yourself an inconsistent parent, or if you've have found yourself being inconsistent lately, do not be hard on yourself. This is absolutely normal, depending on what you're going through in your life, but it's the fact that you have caught on to it, and now that you want to fix that, it is still possible. You just have to be patient. You need to stand firm and make sure that you don't slip up so that you can give your child a fighting chance. And it doesn't have to be a constant battle either. It is a little difficult in the beginning because you do need repetition to get that pattern going and to get make things easier for your child. And usually once they get used to it is when they get older and we need to add more to what is expected of them. So you need to understand that they're learning, and it's not easy, and you're learning as they're growing as well. So you have to give yourself grace and just make sure that you're not expecting too much of your child. And it's don't fall into the trap where you're thinking, well, that's what was expected of me when I was a child. Don't fall into that trap, because there's a really good chance that your parents may not have had realistic expectations of you when you were a child. And so that's not something that we want to pass down to our children as inheritance, right? I will leave you with that. If you have any questions, like I said, I've worked with a lot of families on changing behaviors or starting to be more consistent in our parenting. I do have some resources that I can send to you. So please don't hesitate to reach out. E email is always best. You can also reach me on LinkedIn, and you can always find me on social media as well. But I do ask that you are, if you're reaching out to me, you are serious, because like I said, we're putting the child's needs first. So I expect you to hold your end of the bargain. Now, if you have any other questions, go ahead and contact me. I'd be more than happy to help you with that as well. So until next time, don't, well, actually, I should just say, don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe before whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And yeah, just keep going. You're doing a great job as a parent, and you'll get through it. Until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.